Hello and God bless you. Have you ever been at that point where you've backslidden? You're at that point where you've ran away completely from God. The lights are on, but there's nobody home. Well, we're going to be talking about that today. Also, just before we get started, I want to welcome everyone who's watching this. If you're listening to this on iTunes, on Podomatic, remember that the video version of this is available at www.tallyforgod.com or youtube.com/Neftali1981. The information should be in the description of the podcast. And for those of you watching on YouTube, Facebook, Roku, I just want to say thank you for making these devotional series so successful. It's such a blessing where we can get away from talking about, you know, all of the things that are happening all over the world and just focus on edification topics, right? So many of you have written in saying that the depression video was helpful. Glory to God. Others have mentioned that, you know, they have so many issues happening in their lives, and we're going to talk about all of that, and we'll give you some contact information at the end of the video. But let's get started with this. So as we get started, if you want to follow through with the scriptures on the more information tab below the video, there should be a link around there that'll give you the Bible verses on King James Version so that you can follow with me. Or at the end of the video, you can go there and get them if you want to. When it comes to the topic of backsliding, in 2 Peter 2:21 it says, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Strong words. Strong words. It would have been better for you not to have known the way of righteousness. Because you see, once you come to Jesus Christ, once Jesus Christ has delivered you and has set you free, you have no excuse. No excuse whatsoever. And quite often in this channel, we preach about repentance, right? Repentance, and we have to repent, we have to follow the commandments and so forth. But I want to talk about the beauty of grace in the sense that there are many of you watching this right now who have backslidden. And you're watching this at this point in time and you're feeling empty. And you just do not know how to return back home. I've been there. I've been that backslider. I know it's not something good to admit many times as a preacher, but understand that I'm just your brother. You know, I'm just a man just like you, and I've been at that point where I've backslidden. Oh, how many, as in Galatians 1:6, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." This past weekend, we dealt with a person called Eric Dubai, who many idolize him in the Christian realm. Not everybody does, but a lot of people do, who can tell you so many truths on one end, right, according to him, but deny Jesus Christ, call himself God, and so much. And sometimes you come in search of the truth on YouTube, on podcasts, on Facebook, in local congregations, and soon, little by little, you find yourself in another gospel. Or maybe you're that person who, as Proverbs 14:14, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways." You started out finding and seeking the way, Jesus Christ, but slowly but surely it turned into your own ways. Moments like these happen. I've found myself at one point in time in my walk, this was many years ago, I was still visiting the local congregation, of course. But I was dry, man. I was dry. You see, my heart was no longer in Christ. You know, I started hanging around again with the people that I shouldn't have hung around with at work. You start speaking their language and you start using profanity when you know you shouldn't use it. It all starts with a little joke. It all starts with a little inappropriate joke. And little by little, you find yourself that your heart is turning back to Egypt. You know, that you love Jesus Christ, you know that you're doing wrong, you know that what you're doing is horrendously wrong, but man, you're just tired of it all. And little by little, you don't realize and you don't recognize it, but those little compromises in life, those little sins, as we like to call them, right, has turned your heart back to Egypt. Acts 17:39, "To whom our fathers would not obey, but trust him from them, and in their hearts turn back again into Egypt." It's a matter of the heart. And I remember that I was sitting there in the local congregation. I was this, in this particular case, I was actually visiting another church. And this was, I'm talking about many, many years ago. But I always, when I visited local congregations, I always sat in the back. And God used this man to witness to me, man. And God used that man to put me in my place, you know. How dare I abandon the ways of God? How dare I compromise the ways of God? Because of a temptation, because of a compromise of the world. But there I was, the preacher preaching, me listening to it. As I mentioned, the lights were on, but there was nobody home. My heart was gone. I wasn't praying anymore. I wasn't fasting. I wasn't seeking God. Worship in my life was non-existent. Non-existent. And my brother and my sister, worship in your life. God wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Worship in your life is extremely important. I was a dead man walking, and I had no excuse. That was me in the church. But what about me when I was in the world? Because you see, I knew and I had knowledge of Christ. You see, my dad always talked to us about Jesus Christ, and my dad always warned us about following His ways. And I would go to church with my dad. My dad would take me to church. And I was hot one moment, cold another. Hot one moment, cold another. And one day I made a huge mistake. And I got caught up with friends who, you know, I was a wannabe thug. That's all I can really say. Little wannabe thugs, hanging out with wannabe thugs. And even at that point when I was doing the things that I shouldn't have done, caught up in a drug transaction that went wrong, God was there convicting me. What are you doing? What is going on with you? Run. Come back to me. Let me rescue you. Let me deliver you. And this is not an audible voice that I'm hearing, but you feel it in your spirit. You feel the Holy Spirit of God while you're out clubbing. While you're out there clubbing the horn around, and you feel the Holy Spirit of God, He's whispering to you in your spirit. What's wrong with you? He says. What have I done that you've gotten to this point, son? What have I done that you've gotten to this point, daughter? Do you think that I forgot about you as your dad? No. Come back home. I've been all types of a backslider in my life, and that's no fun for anyone to admit it, but I have. And sometimes people tell me, Tally, why are you so nice to people sometimes? Why is it you try to be so merciful to people and this and that and the other? It's because God has been merciful to me. This brother that you hear me talking here in the microphone, preaching to you the gospel, I should be dead, in jail, or in hell. There's no other way to put it. But in any circumstance that I was in, the Holy Spirit was there convicting me of my sins each and every time. Whether I was in the world, whether I was in the church, whether I was in ministry, or just living around, going to and fro, sinning left and right. He's been there to convict me. Why are you sharing this, Tally? Why are you telling me about this? Do you think I not know what you're trying to tell me? Do you think I not know that I'm wrong for what I'm doing right now? But you just don't understand. It's so easy for you to say it because you're there right now and you've done so well for your life and you're married and you have a beautiful daughter. You don't know how hard it is to be single, Tally. I hear brothers telling me that. You don't know how hard it is to be married to a person who's abusive, Tally. You don't know how hard it is to go through spiritual abuse via pastor. You don't know how hard it is for me to see my daughter, my son, my husband, my mother, my father just waste their lives, and I pray to God, and I pray to God, and I pray to God, and He's done nothing. So I left. Brothers and sisters, there are stories that I hear via email. They're very, very traumatic and touching. But through it all, I want to share with you. I may not have gone through everything you've gone through, and you may not have gone through everything I've gone through, but you cannot ignore that there is a Father that is calling you today back home. And He is convicting you as you're watching this right now. In the name of Jesus. You know, in Luke 15:8-10, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Hallelujah. 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 Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. This is talking about a woman. She lost one piece of silver. You know what she did? She put all of the others, she put them away, but she still searched. And you can imagine her sweeping, searching, anxiously looking for that one that was lost. God is looking for you today. Yet Satan has told you that you're not worth it. Satan has told you that God is not listening to your prayers. Satan has told you, but how dare you go back to God now? After you've fallen this bad? And you want to go back to God now? Yeah, let me know how that works out for you. You see, that's the devil. He leads you into temptation. You fall for the temptation, and he's the first one there to point at you and your sin and tell you that God no longer wants you. But I come to tell you today, my brother, my sister, my elder, if you're older than me, the woman was looking for that lost coin because it had value to her. You have value. God has placed gifts within you. God has placed talents within you. And God compares that parable to the fact that there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner. Their repentance. If you've fallen today, will you be that one sinner? That one sinner today that as you're viewing this video and the Holy Spirit is convicting you, hallelujah, that you may call upon God right there and repent and ask Him to restore that joy of thy salvation, because He will. He will, my brothers, my sisters. He will. He will. He will. He will. Joel 2:13, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Not your garments. You see, God is tired of the exterior. In Esther 4:1, we see when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out in the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. Yet God tells you here, listen, rend your heart. It's beautiful that you're rending your clothes and you're outwardly expressing, oh man, I need Jesus. Listen, rend your heart. Right there where you're at, you can get on your knees and start worshiping Jesus. Rend your heart and turn unto the Lord your God. Listen to this, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth Him of the evil. Rend your hearts, brothers and sisters. Enough with the masks that we put on. Enough with the masks as Christians that we put on. That doesn't impress God, folks. Rend your hearts right there. Start praising the Lord. Oh, how hard it is to come back when you've backslidden and you fall into that state of deception. But I come to remind you that today there is a God that is calling you home. He is calling you home, and right there, start praising the living God. Heavenly Father, we love you. Heavenly Father, we care for you. Hallelujah. Forgive us. Hallelujah. Forgive us. Hallelujah. Oh, Heavenly Father, we've fallen, and we do not know how to get back up. I feel so ashamed to pray to you because the devil's putting in my thought that you don't love me no more. And I feel so ashamed that I've fallen down because I have no excuse. And I need you. I need you. There's something special when you start worshiping Jesus Christ. There's something special that happens in your house and your spirit when you start worshiping the King. Hallelujah. Because no matter how far you are right now, if you're feeling conviction, God is faithful and will restore you. And when you come back home, you're going to be met by love. In Luke 15:20, and he arose and came to his father. But listen to the beauty of this. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. He had backslidden, but there was a father who, while his son was far away, was watching. And that father was there looking for his baby, looking for his son. His son probably thought, my dad's gonna whoop the bricks off of me. My father's gonna RKO me. He's gonna beat me down. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him, and you can just picture his father running to his child and his child running to the father. And it says, and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Come to Jesus today and you will be met by love. Worship Jesus Christ with me, brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father, we just love you. We love you. We love you. We love you because we've fallen so short, man. Yet you've been so good to us. Yet you've given me a beautiful wife. And you've given me a beautiful daughter. Oh, Heavenly Father, and you've allowed my health to improve. And even in moments where I thought I couldn't make it, you were there. Folks, that's my story, but on your end, tell God your story. Hallelujah. Your story of when you were in depression. Your story when you were in debt. Your story when you were suicidal. Your story when you were an alcoholic. Your story when you and your wife were about to break up. Your story when your parents hated you and you hated them, but God healed those wounds. Or maybe your story isn't done yet, and you're going through your story right now. Call upon him because he lives. Hallelujah. He lives, and there's only one thing you will encounter when you come to him, and that is that you will be met by the love of the Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Every time we come to him, we're met by love. Yes, Jesus, we're met by your love. No matter how far I've fallen, you're there convicting me. You're there convicting me, calling me back home, calling me back home. Yes, Jesus, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for rescuing us from our own selves. Hallelujah. We love you. We love you. We love you. Hallelujah. Just as we're worshiping God here, me and you, brothers and sisters, it doesn't have to stop because the video is ending. Grab your husband. Grab your child. If you ain't got a son or a child, just start worshiping God there. If you got a cat, you got to grab the kitty cat. Grab your dog. And just worship him. Worship him and seek him. And develop an atmosphere of praise in your home. Because when God is number one in your life, everything else is second fiddle. I love you. I thank you for watching. Remember that on our website, we're there for you always. These videos, I thank you for watching them, and I ask of you to share them with your friends and families on Facebook, anywhere that you know. Share them with your family and friends, and I love you greatly. God bless.